WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. It's not clear who is responsible for a horrific attack in Gaza on Tuesday. CBS's Charlie Daggett says the death toll is almost unimaginably high.
Cell phone footage captured the moment an explosion turned an overcrowded hospital in Gaza into a massive fireball. Hundreds are thought to have been killed in what might be Gaza's worst single loss of life yet.
CBS's UN correspondent Pamela Falk has reaction from the UN chief.
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said he is horrified and strongly condemns the strike on a hospital in Gaza, a strike that Israel blames on the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and the Palestinian ambassador to the UN blames on Israel. Guterres warned the parties to the conflict that hospital and medical personnel are protected under international humanitarian law.
President Biden will meet with Israeli leaders in Israel on Wednesday. He was scheduled to talk with Arab leaders in Jordan after that, but that meeting has been postponed because of the attack on the hospital. Former President Donald Trump spent the day inside a courtroom in New York, where he and his company are being sued by the state's attorney general on civil fraud charges. More on that from CBS's Graham Cates.
He's experiencing what we've been experiencing, which is seeing these exchanges of emails, little cells on spreadsheets, where the attorney general is trying to document in very granular detail how numbers change over time in order to support their case of fraud.
Trump and his company are accused of deceiving banks, insurers, and others by massively overvaluing assets and inflating Trump's net worth on his financial statements. 3,700 workers at Detroit's three casinos walked off the job Tuesday. CBS News Detroit reporter Gino Vici says the strike is about two things.
They say they made lots of concessions through the COVID-19 pandemic, particularly in terms of pay. They say a lot of them were laid off for a very long time, and they simply want to be made whole again with salary, but most importantly, with health care.
Are GM's self-driving vehicles a threat to pedestrians? Here's WWJ radio reporter Jeff Gilbert in Detroit.
GM's Cruise Automated Driving Division is currently operating self-driving vehicles mostly in San Francisco. There have been four reports of pedestrian injuries and other near misses. Cruise says its automated vehicles have a better safety rating than those driven by humans.
Rolls-Royce is laying off up to 2,500 employees worldwide. The maker of jet engines was hit hard by the COVID-19 pandemic, which drastically reduced the number of people flying. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Your flows
can go from... Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there. See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. 93.5 The Tap.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Fall in Love 2023 Hometown Tour, Dom. We find ourselves at one of our favorite bars in the world, the Jade Monkey Cocktail Lounge, right here in beautiful Madison, Wisconsin, Cottage Grove Road. We've got the old Jade Monkey. What do you call this?
Embroidering? I got the Jade Monkey T-shirt, man. Drink local Hawks. Find your neighborhood bars. Great to be here. Thank you, everybody at the Jade Monkey. Thank you, everybody, for coming on and joining us.
And we've got quite a cast of characters. Dom, we've got Ben Wickler, the Democratic Party chair, joining us in the Happier Happy Hour. We've got Maggie Dawn, broadcaster extraordinaire, and her producer, Anya, in the hizzy. They're going to join us for sure-sies. Maggie will in the 5 o'clock hour. Dom, we've got Chris Taylor, appellate court judge and a fan favorite at 4:30. And right now, from the top, we've got my county executive, Dane County executive, Joe Parisi, friend of the Devils. Joe, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me. Welcome to the East Side.
Yeah. Good to have you guys back. Good to be here, Joe. Thanks, right, man. Good to
ain't
see
no
you
no party
again.
Like an East Side party right here in Madison, Joe. Joe, let's start with the obvious. You've made an announcement. You're working towards retirement, sir.
Oh, that's right.
Sort of a slow wind down, Joe.
Pardon me?
A slow wind down.
A slow wind down. Yeah, I gave my notice that I made an announcement I'm going to retire in May. So I gave about 6 or 7 months for just to, you know, wind down internally, take care of things, give folks who might be thinking about running an opportunity to think it through, talk to their families, see if it's something they want to do. And yeah, it's been a great ride, and I'm really looking forward to whatever's
next.
6 months
to load up on the pens and post-it notes.
Wait, you looked in my trunk, huh? You weren't supposed to look there.
Dane County Executive Joe Parisi, our fine guest here at the Jade Monkey Cocktail Lounge. Joe, let's reminisce for a bit.
Sure.
How long have you served as county executive?
A little over 12 years as county exec.
And before that, I remember Assemblyman Joe Parisi.
Yeah, State Assembly. So a total in elected office, 27 years.
Wow.
Yeah, long time.
That's
man. As
long
soon
time.
As I did that math, I was like, wow. It might be time to think about something new. No, I started out as the Dane County Clerk, did that for 8 years, then ran for the Assembly, lived through Act 10, and then ran for county executive, and here we are today.
So finally going to get a job in the private sector. Joe?
I'm hoping to retire.
Oh, okay,
I'm hoping this is it for the
spending
for
more
the
time with
career.
Family, are you, Joe?
Absolutely, yep. I know that sounds really cliche, but my wife retired 3 years ago, and she's really happy. It looks pretty good.
Right, I get used to that.
Yeah, that's right.
Joe Parisi, what advice might you have for the next want to be county executive, those that would seek this higher office, what would you tell them, Joe? What advice?
Yeah, I think do it for all the right reasons, right? And I think the main reason is because you want to make a difference and because you love your community. And for whoever's, you know, fortunate enough to get in, I guess my first piece of advice would be feel free taking time to learn and listen and get to know the community. Because, as you know, I've lived here my entire life, but never did I experience Dane County like I did until I became county executive. Yeah. There's so much here, so much going on, such a diverse community, and there's just a lot to learn and listen. And then when the time comes, it's time to lead.
Joe, I've lived here most of my life, Madison and Dane County by extension. What might I not know about Dane County if I was visiting this area from outside? What's something that's maybe not on the normal tourist attraction that you would encourage me to go explore here in Dane County?
Yeah, I think overall one of the things that people not from here might not understand is that while the university has a huge impact on our community, we are so much more than a college town. You know, Dane County's population is pushing about 600,000 now.
Yeah.
We have a little bit of everything, and in a lot of ways it's kind of like a microcosm of the state. We have urban, suburban, small town, farms. There's just so much here, such diverse culture and community. It's really a great place. There's no matter what you like to do, there's the urban experience, there's incredible recreational experience, bike trails, hiking, etc. It's just, you know, there's a reason that we're the fastest growing community in the state. It's a great place to be.
You stole my thunder, Joe. I was going to say, while you have been county executive, about half of the state's inbound growth has been in Dane County. We have grown, and I share some of that sort of gratitude that this is a booming part of the state. This is an economic engine for the state of Wisconsin, Madison, and the greater Dane County area, because the cranes don't stop on East Wash. I see them all over, Joe.
That's for sure. That's for sure. And it shows no sign of slowing down. And, you know, I think it's a testament to how livable this community is, how welcoming this community is, that people want to live here. You know, I had to laughed and cried a few months ago when the legislature decided that they were going to tackle the fact that there are too many young people who are leaving Wisconsin, right? And this is, I should say, the majority party in the legislature. And I got a call from someone in the media, and they said, well, so the Republicans are going to tackle this problem, and they're going to propose a flat tax in order to get more young people to stay in Wisconsin.
I was like,
that's what you hear across the United States. Young people are saying, show me a town with a flat tax, and I'm there. But they could learn a lot from us, the rest of the state, looking around. Not that there aren't other good places in the state.
Well, Joe Parisi, that's the Republicans' cure answer for everything is
tax cuts,
tax reform, tax. Joe Parisi, Dane County Executive. You're retiring here coming up pretty soon. What, next May, you said?
May 1st.
Does the election cycle, that play into your decision at all?
Yeah, I thought it would be good to be able to retire in time so that they could have the special election concur with the November election. It's going to be the presidential. We'll have the highest turnout of the four-year cycle. And so, you know, everyone in my community who votes, basically, turns out in a presidential election.
My county executive knows how to
be strategic,
Dominic.
They will be able to pick the next county executive. So it should be pretty cool.
That's going to be a lot of engagement. A lot of opportunities, as mentioned, a lot of growth under your tenure. What do you see as the opportunities for Dane County going forward, and any threats? What do you see as headwinds?
Yeah, I mean, the same as a lot of people are facing. You know, we definitely have challenges with income inequality, just like other places. It's certainly high here. Inflation has really taken a bite out of people's paychecks, from lower income folks to middle income folks. We see a lot more food insecurity. We see the pluses and minuses of our booming growth, right? With that comes a lot of economic activity, but also with that comes a lot of pressure on the housing market and the rental market. And it's really challenging to stay on top of all that. But it does present opportunity, as you mentioned, too, because we can choose how to grow and what to prioritize. And I think we've done a pretty good job so far, again, which is why so many people want to live here.
My county executive, Joe Parisi, how much has Epic driven this growth in Dane County? I mean, it is a monster corporation. They've had lots of hiring, and they built this huge campus, this marvelous campus. It's very wonderful. Joe, how intrinsic is now Epic to Dane County's future?
They're certainly an important piece of it, but just like the university, they're not the only piece. One of the exciting things from them, though, in addition to what they bring as a company, a lot of spin-offs have come because of that, too. And it does bring a lot of people here, and then they get engaged in other companies and new companies. And it kind of like helps spread that word and create that critical mass. But there's so much tech, there's so much biotech, there's so much in every industry going on right now. But, yeah, you definitely can't diminish the impact that they've had.
Joe Parisi, you saw the flip side of that economic coin, homelessness.
Yeah.
And we've moved our facility up to State Street here in Madison. We see the homelessness.
Yeah.
It's happening. I would suspect mental health underlying much of this, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
I realize it's a city issue, but it's probably also a county issue, I suspect. What is the role of the county in dealing with homelessness?
Yeah, we think we have a big role to play, and we partner with the city. We see it as kind of a joint issue because no one entity can tackle it alone. And when you see homelessness, as you mentioned, there are a lot of causes. There are mental health challenges, but also it's just housing stock and the cost of housing. We see that a lot of people have never fully recovered from the impacts of the pandemic. But we did see, during the pandemic, when the federal dollars started coming in, we saw the difference you can make when you have the resources and the investments we were able to make in helping people make their rent and helping to house people. We had 300 people who were formerly homeless in hotels during COVID because these were vulnerable folks that we wanted to not have in shelter. We wanted to help keep them safe. And because we had federal dollars, we implemented a hotels to housing program when the hotel part wound down, and we're able to house many of those folks. So the answers exist. It's priorities and it's resources. But again, because we're growing, because of the impacts of the pandemic, and that income inequality, housing remains sticky. It remains an issue, and it will moving forward.
Joe Parisi, the bounce back grants. I saw around the state of Wisconsin, I had the opportunity to travel and try to rent some Main Street storefront business locations mm-hmm. to be radio stations. It has had quite an impact across the state of Wisconsin, way more than Foxconn could ever have hoped to.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of state-level development have the bounce back grants? Have they affected perhaps not Madison so much, but outlying Dane County communities? Have they seen this bounce?
So what we really were impacted by the most was dollars that came in during the pandemic that we had the ability to spend where we felt they were needed. We spent a lot on housing, as I mentioned, a lot on food, and we had a major program that provided grants to our small businesses just to keep them going during the pandemic when they shut down. We did that with childcare and with other small local businesses. That's who was eligible for the grants. And so that's really had the biggest impact on keeping people going, you know, from where we sit.
Drew, if I recall correctly, in a former machination as broke-ass radio, I think Devil Radio might have gotten a grant of that sort.
Excellent.
We appreciated it. It survived long enough to grow and flourish and become something more.
Joe Parisi, going to retire here next May. Thank you for everything you've done. Obviously, folks like me, I think democracy's on the ballot. Am I being, you know, hyperbolic about it? What was your parting words of wisdom be to the voting electorate?
Yeah, I mean, stay tuned and vote and pay attention to what's going on, because you're absolutely right. I mean, we see it certainly right here in Dane County. I hear the music. Is that ushering me out?
Oh, we got 45 seconds.
Okay. I see that happening here in Dane County and in throughout the state when we see the gerrymandering that the Republican Party, who, you know, we're a 50-50 state and they have about two-thirds of the seats in the legislature. Hopefully that'll get evolved. But stay involved, vote. Stay informed.
Don't give up. Yep. Listen to the devil's advocates.
There you go.
Just because you're retired, Joe, you're not leaving the area, are you? You're not.
No way, man. No way. This
Arizona or something.
This is home. I'm
all
staying.
Right. All right.
Great place to retire as well. I hear
there
Dane
you go.
County. My county executive, Dane County executive Joe Parisi. Thank you so much for joining us at the Jade Monkey Cocktail Lounge. More fine guests, including Chris Taylor and perhaps the proprietor Hawk, if he's in the house.
Thanks, Joe.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy, 47 degrees here in the overnight. A light south to southeast wind. On Wednesday, mostly cloudy and a chance of showers. The high reaching 62. Shower chances continue Wednesday night. Mostly cloudy, down to 48 degrees. Currently 46 degrees.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show live from the Jade Monkey, that funky monkey in Madison, the proprietor of that fine establishment, Hawk Sullivan, joining us right now. Hawk, happy days, man. Good to see you, my friend.
Hey, Hawk.
Ooh, look at us. Look at Dominic.
Oh, no, we're matching twinsies.
I know. Is that because
you're both wearing the Jade Monkey
Wait, am I wearing
t-shirts?
The monkey?
Very classy. Very classy.
Yes,
classy. You wear it well, Hawk.
Well, thank you.
You've moved into merchandising and find your neighborhood bars.
A merchandising, I don't know so far. Where's your Drink Local shirt?
Buddy, I'm wearing.
I'm
dressed for business.
Dude, but he looks weird, by the way.
I know,
like,
very fancy.
He's trying to act like he's some professional.
Did you just come from court?
Yeah.
I can't talk about it. But let's just say I had a meet with the tax professional.
He's dressing for the job he wants.
Yes. Is that what it is?
I want your job, Hawk. I want to be the proprietor of Fighter Neighborhood Bars. The
no
Jade
problem.
Monkey, dude. I gotta be honest. You got some fine bars, but this one's my favorite. And since you guys have moved up the road here on Cottage Grove Road, you got the outdoor grotto. And, dude, this bar is spacious and starting to fill up with people here on a Tuesday.
Yeah, when we were moving, I wasn't necessarily looking for a bigger space. But post-COVID, having more space seems like a good thing.
Right.
And then it's funny because I've always wanted to – I've always liked these round booths. Whenever I see him somewhere, I'm always very jealous.
They create commiseration.
Yes, totally. And I never had room at the old place, and so like I definitely was very happy to be able to get big round booths here.
Oh, yeah,
so.
Absolutely.
Place, your staff would have put us in the far background booths.
Yes, they would. Well, looking at you, suit
yes,
people.
Yes, I could see you.
Back of the class.
Not a lot of suits rolling into the Jade Monkey.
Hawk, you know, always appreciate you hosting the Devil's Advocates. We've been friends for a long time, and one of the things I really do appreciate and love about you, man, you wear your politics on your sleeve. It's been some strange political goings-on, few strange years, Hawk. How you feeling these days, man?
I mean, I personally feel fine with my own, like, politics. I don't belong to a party that's cuckoo nuts, whack-a-jobbles, I mean, frankly, I actually don't even necessarily call myself a Democrat because I have a problem with a lot of Democrats, too, because I'm really, really, really liberal. And they don't always ascribe to all my, you know, what I believe in.
Sure.
But you're talking about one party that functions like an actual political party, whether you disagree with it or not, and then another party that is a complete clown show and can't govern. But this shouldn't be surprising, though, because they don't believe in government anyhow. So why is anybody surprised when they can't function and do what the government should do when they actually don't believe in government? So
Hawk,
I'm not surprised.
In deference to the fact we are a political show, we should take note of the fact there is still no Speaker of the House. Jim Jordan defeated on the first vote, and he promises there will be more votes.
Oh, my.
That's the guy.
Jim Jordan.
The beatings will not end until morale improves.
Right. You might not have had, you might not have agreed with, like, the last speakers, Speaker Boehner, Speaker Ryan, Speaker, even the most recent one,
McCarthy.
Yeah.
But Jim Jordan,
yes,
that's the guy that the Republicans got. That's the guy.
That's the cream of the crop.
The best. Oh, my God. Wait, the best was the interview with, what's the, Fetterman? Fetterman from?
Fetterman, yes.
And they asked about what it's like to roam around D.C., and he's like, yeah, they don't send the best people to D.C. Like, he's like, these are not the best, finest Americans.
The best and the brightest.
They're not the best and the brightest.
I think that Jim Jordan can only win really through the virtue of a Ohio gerrymander. I mean, he's not popular in his own state.
He's not popular in his own party.
Gerrymandering is definitely, I think, why we have our current political situation. Frankly, on the left, too. You know, Democrats gerrymandered plenty up until in the last 10, 15 years. It's not like Democrats were like, we don't like gerrymandering.
I'm not saying we're above gerrymandering.
You know?
But of course, we would manipulate the maps, yes, given the opportunity, but
we just haven't had the opportunity.
I would say that's really the dyed in the wool, the party, the... I think most of the citizenry that might go cast a vote on either side of the aisle, we want fair elections, man. I just want to know if this guy's a bum that I could throw him out. And it's long past due for some of the bums that are being protected by the gerrymander in the state of Wisconsin.
100%.
Talking to you, Voss.
And by the way, the idea, this most recent idea of like, well, we'll impeach her depending on how she rules.
Talking about Justice Protasiewicz.
Yeah.
Just give me one reason.
I can't believe they said out loud. They literally said out loud that they will impeach her depending on how she rules on a particular.
Well, that's a prior chilling effort, wouldn't you say? Wouldn't you say you're trying to influence someone's behavior through your threat? Because anybody else, man, this is a threat. But somehow the executive, the legislative junior leader can threaten a Wisconsin Supreme Court justice? I mean, he's getting kind of brassy, if you know what I'm saying.
I mean, I don't have any Republican aunts or uncles or brothers or friends.
You do. You just disowned them already.
So I would suggest that everybody listening, if you have a relative that is a supporter of Republicans, ask him to defend specifically this Supreme Court thing, by the way. Ask him to defend it.
What about Hillary's emails? Benghazi.
Tax cuts.
Joe Biden's son's laptop.
By the way, so on something separate quickly, something happened recently and someone assumed I was a Republican because I was a business owner. And I was laughing because I was like, I just think it's funny that people assume you're a Republican because you own a business. And I wonder where that comes from. Somehow this weird mentality of that's a conservative thing as a business owner.
Well, probably from the Tavern League, Wisconsin Manufacturers
and
Commerce.
Which I've never been a part of.
Wisconsin's Realtors Association. So many of the business lobbies here in the state of Wisconsin, Hawk, not only do they support Republican causes, in the case of WMC and the Realtors, they wrote the recusal rules for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, the same one that now Janet Protasiewicz is being held to, which is, you never have to recuse. It's up to you, fellas.
They
please.
Never
and ladies,
did. Why should
justices,
she?
Justices.
Right.
Hawk, man.
Talk to your crazy aunt and uncle.
We're going to have a good time. Hawk, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having me.
Jade Monkey Cocktail Lounge.
Thanks, buddy.
Dude.
Thanks for coming down.
Always, man.
And any specials for Friends of the Devils today?
We will not kick you out if you get a little slurry.
Well, that's good because we started that way.
Just saying.
Curdy resembles that remark.
Thank you, Hawk. Come back with us. Appellate Court Judge Chris Taylor, a fan favorite and a friend of the Devils.
CBS News Special Report. President Biden is now on his way to the Middle East, where the conflict between Hamas and Israel worsened on Tuesday. CBS's Tina Kraus reports from Tel Aviv.
Gaza's health ministry says hundreds of people were killed in a blast at a hospital in Gaza City. Officials there blame it on an Israeli airstrike. But the Israeli military says the Palestinian Islamic Jihad group is responsible for the attack. The carnage at the hospital has escalated the conflict.
Former U.S. Ambassador to Israel Martin Indyk says the president is heading into a very delicate situation.
His first message is that he stands with Israel. On the other hand, though, he's going to be calling for restraint. I think probably calling for a ceasefire, which he hasn't done up to now. He may pull back from that.
Mr. Biden's planned summit with Arab leaders in Amman, Jordan, was canceled after the attack on the hospital. CBS News Special Report. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Devils Advocates Radio Show, live on the road again, Jade Monkey Cocktail Lounge, Cottage Grove Road, Madison, Wisconsin. We're having a good time. Thank you, Hawk, the fine proprietor here. Always love when Hawk allows us to throw a little soiree. And Dom, we always appreciate when our friend Chris Taylor comes round. Now, we've known Chris since she was one of the highest vote-gathering assembly reps in the state of Wisconsin, and then on to the district courts, and now appellate court judge Chris Taylor, friend of the Devil's Advocates. Welcome back, Chris.
Thanks so much for having me. It's so much fun to be here.
Good to see you, Chris.
We asked you off air, if we came before the appellate court, would you have to recuse in that we are friends? You are a friend of the Devil's, Chris.
I am your friend, but no, there would not be an automatic recusal. I'm not related to you. I haven't represented you, but I would have to make sure that I could be fair in judging the case. And if I thought I couldn't, then yes, I should recuse myself. But there's not an automatic. I wouldn't say there would be a statutory, mandatory recusal.
Well, that's good to know, because that's not just a hypothetical. I've appeared before the appellate court before.
Just for the record, we're always innocent.
You are presumed to be innocent. No doubt about that.
Chris Taylor, let's talk about your role as an appellate court judge. How has life changed for those that, you know, those of us that aren't lawyers? Tell us the difference. District court, appellate court, how's the job changed for you?
Sure. So I am now on the Court of Appeals, which is the most important court you've never heard of. It's essentially the second tier of our court system. The first tier is the trial courts, where if you watch Law and Order, that's where the judge has the gavel, that's where all the it all goes down. You have testimony, you take witnesses, you make findings of fact. Now I'm at what's called the Court of Appeals. That's the intermediate appellate court between the trial courts and the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And people have the right, the constitutional right, to appeal. So we hear many, many, many more appeals than the Wisconsin Supreme Court. They get to pick what they take. We don't pick it. We take everything. And what I do now is make sure that there weren't errors committed by the circuit court that may have deprived somebody of their due process rights or their constitutional rights to effective assistance of counsel. So that's what I do. I'm not sitting in a courtroom anymore. I'm actually in an office building reading and writing. And when we have oral arguments, because that's really the interface between us and the public, we do those in the state Supreme Court courtroom.
Chris, we hear the term original jurisdiction, and that generally, if I understand the term, means someone wants to jump right to the Supreme Court. And the criticism of original jurisdiction, as I hear it, is, but the Supreme Court's not in a position to take testimony. They aren't like the district court. So can you clarify that point for a minute? You sat on a bench. You presided over trials. That is quite a bit different than reviewing the work of someone else. Even hearing oral testimony, that is different than a trial.
Absolutely. The trial court is really the place where the facts get sussed out, where we determine what happened, or a jury does. A jury determines whether someone's entitled to relief or somebody's guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. That's not what happens at the appellate level. The Supreme Court's a bit different because the Constitution provides that they can take cases directly. Statutes also provide that if there, it's typically been interpreted as statewide issues of importance. But I think you saw last Friday in the state Supreme Court's acceptance of what they were going to hear on the redistricting, they made a determination that three of the counts in the case that they took were too factually intensive for them to take on original jurisdiction. So they took counts four and five. Counts four where it was the allegation that the 55 of the assembly out of 99 assembly districts were not contiguous in violation of the Constitution. Districts are supposed to be contiguous. And secondly,
Mark is an advocate of contiguous districts.
Okay, contiguous, that's, you know, it's important. Yes. They're supposed to be contiguous. Yeah. And then secondly, there's an argument they're going to hear that the maps violate the separation of powers, because remember, Governor Evers vetoed the maps that are currently in existence and being implemented. And there's
an
argument.
Dom Lesso.
Yes, Dom Lesso. Okay, well now I'm refreshing your recollection.
Thank you.
Effectively, so, the U.S. Supreme Court, the Evers veto of the legislative maps got run up the flagpole to the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court said, find a different ruling, effectively, and Hagedorn flipped. And by doing so, that created this issue. The veto had already been issued. The very same maps that Evers had vetoed as the chief executive were the maps that were implemented.
Right, our current maps. So it's a very interesting separation of powers argument. So the state Supreme Court, in taking, just to get back to your original question, in taking original jurisdiction, they only took those two issues, finding the first three issues were just too factually intensive, that those issues really require fact-finding. And that's not typically what the state Supreme Court or the U.S. Supreme Court is supposed to do either. So, but original jurisdiction is allowed in issues that are so fundamental to our state and of statewide importance.
Now, Chris, the one time I did appear before the Wisconsin Appellate Court, it was in the case ruled on by Markson, the Solidarity Sing-Along. And as you may recall, Markson threw it out and said it's unconstitutional to charge people for this conduct. This is the people's house. And the Walker administration took it to the appellate court, but it didn't just go to a singular judge. It went to an en banc ruling. Can you speak to that? Because my understanding is it's in the law books because when it's en banc, it becomes precedent setting. Explain that concept for a dumb guy like me, please.
Sure. No, it's what we do oftentimes at the Court of Appeals. A lot of the very important decisions that are published, and we make a determination as a panel whether we're going to recommend to a committee. I'm on that committee.
Is it always three?
It's always three here, and it is, I believe, in the federal system as well. So yes, here in the Court of Appeals, there are certain instances where we don't have to have a panel of three. If it's a misdemeanor or if it's a small claims, there are statutory instances where we don't have to have a panel. And I have issued a one-judge opinion is what they're called. But I believe that the Seventh Circuit, which is where you went, that's the intermediate appellate court in the federal system, they would have heard that case en banc, three.
No, I was in the state courts. You
were in the state courts. Okay.
And, yep. A few others.
So we don't necessarily say en banc. What we do is statutorily, the statutes differentiate on what cases can be decided by a one judge versus a three judge.
I'm digressing so terribly here with
that's
you.
That's what it is.
Appellate
so that's what happened.
Our fine guest, friend of the devil's advocates, Chris, thanks for joining us here at the Jade Monkey.
Chris, I want to get your opinion here. We've since the election, the fraudulent electors here in the state of Wisconsin face no consequence. We've seen in other states, specifically our neighbor in Michigan, Dana Nessel, their AG, go after. Attorney General Josh Call has declined, at least so far publicly, to acknowledge that anything is going on. It seems like fraud to me. What's your thought?
Well, it's up to the Attorney General. We've seen the Attorney General bring these cases in other states. What I've heard most recently from our Attorney General is he's still investigating this. So I haven't necessarily looked at, is there a legal basis for a fraud claim? Clearly other states' Attorney Generals are pursuing that. It's really up to this Attorney General to look at that. What is very interesting is one of those false electors continues to serve on the Wisconsin Elections Commission.
Yes, Bob
which
Spindell.
I find to be interesting, that issue.
Interesting.
And you saw Republicans removed one of the Democrats on the Wisconsin Elections Commission today, Sarnicki.
Yeah, and I don't know why that was, quite frankly.
Because they can.
Because they can.
The
yeah, because they can. Okay, so Well, that is a lot of the rationale when I was in the legislature that was utilized. But I just find it interesting. This person is still serving on the Wisconsin Election Commission, who so clearly held out that he was just an elector when he was not.
Current cases right now, Josh Call did go forward with a lawsuit against Republicans for trying to also elections commissioner, administrator Megan Wolf.
Right.
And it came, and of course the Republicans were all fired up for many months about this, but in their legal filings yesterday, what was the terminology they used, Kurt? It was performative. It wasn't performative, but it was they admitted
symbolic.
Thank
yes.
you, Judge. Have you ever had symbolic. A case come before you that were specifically only symbolic?
No. And if it were, it would be tossed out for failure to state a claim. Yeah, we don't typically decide symbolic cases. There actually has to be, you know, a legal
issue. Is that a thing?
Not that I know of. That has not been anything I've ever dealt with.
Have you ever seen a litigant before the court so clearly have to say, I'm lying. I've been lying the whole time. Here it is in writing. Everything up until these words were lies.
Well, I'll tell you.
My characterization.
Okay.
I'm just wondering.
One thing that does happen a lot on the circuit court, and this is kind of a fundamental role of a circuit court judge, is they judge the credibility of witnesses. if they are the fact finder. And then it's the jury. If the jury is hearing a trial, they are the fact finders. But judging the credibility of parties and witnesses is a fundamental point of having a judicial system, having trials, having juries if they're the fact finder, or having the judge look at credibility. That is something that happens all the time in a circuit court, is the assessment of credibility of a witness, a party, whoever it is. And in fact, there's a very lengthy instruction that the jurors are given about assessing the credibility of witnesses, that that is one of their roles.
You know, we are at a party, and I feel like I'm being a little boring here. Chris Taylor,
are
Judge
people bored? No, look, people are happy.
I feel
they're
like
drinking
I'm,
their drinks.
Let me ask you this, Chris.
Yeah, sure.
Your family lives in Madison. We're
right
here for a
not
reason.
Not far from here.
We've been all around the state, but this is the town I make home. Why do you make this town home? Why Madison?
Oh, I love this town. Because the people in this city I have never encountered. I've lived in a lot of places. I grew up on the West Coast, went to school on the East Coast, but been here most of my adult life. And I have just never encountered warmer, more caring, more compassionate people. And I love this community. And I, you know, made a conscious decision to raise my children here and have my family here. And I continue to be blown away by the people in this community every single day, in how much people care about each other, the great work people are doing. And thank you both for doing the great work that you do that really makes a difference in people's lives. But that's why I'm here, and that's why I will always live here.
Do you miss the legislature at all?
No. I miss my colleagues. I just saw some of my wonderful colleagues, Greta Neubauer, Robin Vining. I miss them. I love them. I love Melissa Agard. We're super good friends. So I miss the incredible group of people. I don't miss the conflict constantly. I just felt like you weren't able to do the work that the people really desperately needed you to do because of how partisan it was. Whereas in the courts, I really feel like you listen to people, facts matter, and you're trying to do justice every single day. And I love that. I just absolutely love that.
Chris Taylor, as long as I've known you, you've been a person on a mission. The appellate court, very high and esteemed position. But you can't tell me, sister, that's mission accomplished.
No. I think that's something we all ask ourselves every single day, is how do we make this a better community? How do we improve people's lives? So that mission has not been accomplished, but that's what I strive to do every day.
Is there anything the devil's advocates could help you do, Chris? Or is there any announcements you'd like to make?
You know, just pay attention. Don't forget about the courts. The courts are very important. That's why I love talking about them. So who you elect matters. Obviously.
Obviously.
So people, that applies to the judiciary as well.
Our friend, my neighbor, Chris Taylor. She's an appellate court judge and a friend of the Devil's Advocates for longer than I'd like to admit. Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Good to see you again.
Come back with us. We are at the Jade Monkey. It's beautiful. The crowd is growing. And you can be a part. Come party with the Devil's Advocates. We'll be here all night long.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs. but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy, 47 degrees here the overnight, a light south to southeast wind. On Wednesday, mostly cloudy and a chance of showers, the high reaching 62. Shower chances continue Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, down to 48 degrees. Currently 46 degrees.
Political commentary from the back of the class.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocate. This is producer Nate. We are working on getting back Dom and Crute, who are over at the Jade Monkey today. We should be getting them back in just a moment here. But in case you missed it, we just had appellate judge Chris Taylor on the show just a moment ago. And I believe we might have Dom and Crute back.
Well, let's hope so, man.
Hey, we do. We do.
Can't be at a party and not have a broadcast going on. So welcome back to the Jade Monkey Cocktail Lounge. It's starting to fill up with good people here, Dom. The weather is great. The crowd is growing in the party. It's going all night. And the happier happy hour. Do you know we've got Milwaukee Corporate Counsel Maggie Dawn joining us here at the table in just a few minutes. Maggie Dawn doing her live show here from the Jade Monkey. She's got Anya here, her producer in the hizzy. Also, Ben Wickler, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin chairman, he's going to join us at the table at 5:30. Plenty of topics to talk about, Dom, including the fact we still lack for a Speaker of the House of Representatives, and they're putting off the vote another day. Jordan does not have the votes.
So they did one vote. I know that
one
for
vote.
Sure. Yep. And now
Jordan defeated. The crowd appreciates the fact that Jim Jordan will not be our Speaker.
Not today.
Defeated by 20-ish votes. There were like 8 for Scalise, 8 for McCarthy, and then a bunch of randos. And
what's some like write-in candidates? I mean, what?
Yes, literally, they just voted for Mickey Mouse. Dom, you might have gotten a vote or two.
Right.
But Jim Jordan did not get the prerequisite number of votes to become the Speaker of the House. So class dismissed. Go home.
I mean, didn't Hakeem Jeffries get more votes than Jim Jordan?
Oh, yes.
Yes. So
I think
shouldn't
so.
Hakeem Jeffries be the Speaker of the House?
By default.
I'm just saying.
I don't think that's how it works, though. But Jim Jordan's going to have to, what, go home and put a couple of guys in full Nelsons tonight? I mean, this has been a strong-arm campaign, and it's not working.
No, not working.
It's not working. Bill Press predicted that Kevin McCarthy would never be the Speaker of the House. And 15 votes later, Bill was wrong. Feel bad for Bill, but barely wrong. And it was a short-lived speakership. I ask you, make a prediction, Dom. Speaker Jim Jordan, now or ever?
No. No.
Never going to happen.
No, I don't think so.
Then what happens? Where do we go from here?
So I think they cut a deal with the Speaker pro tem. They give him 30 or 15 days. They'll work something out with the Dems. It's going to have to do something to get some governing done. But I don't see Jim Jordan. He lacked in the first vote. And, presumably if they come around for round two, he's going to lose some more. What do we got?
Jordan got 200 votes. Jeffries, 212.
Yeah, there
and
we
just
go.
So you know, Scalise, 7. McCarthy, 6. Zeldin, Lee Zeldin, three. A guy named Emmer got one. Garcia got one. Cole got one. And Massey got one. I didn't even know some of those guys. Right. You don't know any of those guys except for Jim Jordan.
House delays second speaker vote after Jordan's loss. So that doesn't bode well, thank you. That does not bode well for Jim Jordan because, of course, you know, you're already going to the mat with a pressure campaign that didn't obviously work very well. You enlisted, what, the help of Sean Hannity and faux news to try to get out there and strong arm some of the people who aren't voting against you. Like that, hey, vote for me or I'm gonna do bad things to you.
I'm gonna hammer you.
Right. Like how is that bringing people along? How is that leadership? Well, of course it's not. He lacks the basic skills. He hasn't passed any legislation. People don't like him. And he's literally the biggest sycophant of Trump in the House. And if the claim is, well, we need someone to keep conservative press off of us, well, they've already lost. You know what I mean? Are you kidding me?
I'm not sure if he's the biggest sycophant of Trump. I thought that was Glenn Groth.
I mean,
he's
by the
Trumpiest
math.
Trumpster, perhaps. Mathematically speaking. But Jim Jordan was literally there seeking to stop the peaceful transfer of power.
Yes.
And how this guy has not been targeted for, let's say, criminal indictment in multiple jurisdictions, at least in the D.C. and the Jack Smith, I mean, I'm not clear how this guy can go and be the Speaker of the House if he's under current investigation, and I suspect he is, by the Department of Justice. But hell, Trump's going to go be president, right?
Exactly. The bar is so extremely low. So perhaps some sort of power sharing. Again, the Republican Party in disarray, if they don't come up with some sort of plan, if they don't engage the Democrats on this, and this is all on the Republicans. I've seen some spitballing McCarthy, former Speaker of the House McCarthy, getting into some...
Former future Speaker McCarthy?
Perhaps. Getting into the media's ass about, well, you know, these Dems went along with these, you know, eight Republicans. Well, you know, no, man. I mean, you have those Republicans could have gone along with Hakeem Jeffries today, and we'd have had a Speaker of the House. So that goes both ways. That doesn't fly. The Republican Party is in absolute disarray. It's getting worse.
I heard Glenn Grothman on your girl, Vicky, Whitey Righty Talk Radio, a little bit earlier this afternoon. He didn't really have a plausible path forward for the speakership.
No.
They don't really have a plan.
There's no plan.
I mean, there was plan A with McCarthy, and then they got rid of him. And then it's Scalise. And he was the pick of the caucus, but they didn't make him the speaker. And Glenn's bemoaning the fact, you know, if we were in a state senate, we, you know, even if you hate the guy, you still vote for the guy. And I'm thinking, are you talking about Chris Kapinga right now?
You resemble that remark.
Well, it was Mike Ellis, his buddy, back in the day, if you'll recall, Dom. And then he got... who is the O'Keefe outfit?
Well, I mean, what is the plan? It's like South Park, the underwear gnomes, man. Step one, steal underwear. Step three is profit. What's step two? Hey, what's step two? Anybody know what step two is? Nobody knows what step two is. There is no plan. There is no leadership.
Here's the plan. Jeff brought us drinks.
Thank you, Jeff.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour. We're at the Jade Monkey. We got fine guests coming, including Maggie Dawn. We've got Ben Wickler, the Democratic Party chair of the great state of Wisconsin. We've got a fine crew of people sitting around commiserating, you know, listening to ours, our talks, our conversations.
And we got bags and bags of cookies.
Oh, did we mention the cookies? Oh, the generosity of the people.
Oh, my goodness.
I can feel the diabetes coming on right now.
You know, I'm on a weight bet, folks, so this is not going to bode well for me, but, well, I'll do my best.
Well, if they bring in loose joints, that'll also lead to future cookie.
Right.
Come on down, party with the Devil's Advocates here at the Jade Monkey Cocktail Lounge, Cottage Grove Road, Madison, Wisconsin. The party's just getting started because we're doing another hour. We got Maggie Dawn joining us, our fine guest, and then we got Ben Wickler. And again, the Maggie Dawn Show going live from this very location right here at the Jade Monkey. So if you want to meet the golden goddess of broadcast, as Mark likes to call her, you better come down and meet Maggie Dawn and Anya. Anya's in the hizzy. Lots of Civic Media folks in the house. Come on down, party with us. Party with the Devil's Advocates. There ain't no party like a Jade Monkey party.
That funky monkey. Brass monkey chunky. That funky monkey. Brass monkey. That funky monkey.
People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you?
Wish Caregiver Careers can get you started as a certified direct care professional. You'll learn the skills you need to make life better for older adults or people with a disability. All training is free and online, plus earn $500 in bonuses. Start your new career. Sign up today at WISCCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Attention high school sports fans, are you an armchair official? You know, the parent or fan who constantly yells at the referees and loves to let everyone know just how bad you think they are. Well, if you think you could do better, then get in the game and prove it. It's time for you to suit up and make the calls where they actually count. Every sport in Wisconsin needs more officials. Sign up today at highschoolofficials.com.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app. Yes.